Playing the funk. Ken Clark. That's our theme song here on Butte Views and Beyond. We love Ken Clark Trio. We start and end each show with it. Alrighty, thanks for tuning in. My name's Ray Lager. I will be your host today on Butte Views and Beyond. And we're going to get right to the interviews because we have a time-sensitive, topical interview that is literally happening as we speak. Not sure if you guessed it, but we'll find out here in just a second. Thanks for tuning in, and it's a lovely, lovely night out there. Thursday night market's happening as well, and there's even more.
I would like to welcome...
And that means it's time for the Butte County Fair.
It is. The Midway is going. The hot dogs and funnel cakes are there to be eaten. And, you know, there's some alcohol being consumed.
Oh, I'm sure as well.
That's right. And going on right now is the Miss Butte County Fair competition. We'd love to see people come out and encourage and cheer these young ladies on.
Yeah. There's actually... four different age brackets. They start as young as first grade. I can't believe that. And then go through high school, I think. But teenagers, anyway. It's really a special time for those girls.
Well, yes, they'll be showing off their special talents tonight. Would love to have you there.
And, you know, for those people that don't realize, the Butte County Fair, it's not in Chico, it's in Gridley. It's the county fairgrounds, and it's a beautiful facility just off of... 99 as you're rolling through off on the east side. And it's huge. It's a very big facility. And the fair is, am I right? The fair is 75 years old this year.
That's right.
That's correct. And we're really excited this year that we have revitalized and brought back the original entrance on Hazel Street. And it will be lit up and flags are hanging. And so that'll be our main entrance on the Hazel Street side. So be looking for that.
Okay. That's good to know. And yeah, of course, there's tons of free parking and all that stuff.
Right. And there is still the parking on the, we'd call that the south side, Amy, over
yes.
by where you can park across the street.
Yes. East Gridley Biggs.
All right.
So well, there's two entrances.
Yeah, and it's just nice to see these things back. And, of course, it's outdoors. So, you know, obviously people use precautions going there. But it's just great to see people out and doing these things. And this is so important to the kids and families that get involved.
Yeah. Absolutely. Go ahead, Amy.
Absolutely. And when you come into the main gate, be sure to look for the Butte County Sheriff. They have a booth set up with some of their equipment. And also Gridley Country Ford, which is one of our main sponsors.
Oh, great.
And the kids always enjoy going to see all the animals. So, you know, don't miss going and talking to the animals. Their competition for that started today. And I think there's still some of the judging going on tomorrow, right? But we've got lots of different animals ranging from turkeys to steer, you know. So big variety in what's happening.
Yeah, and that's always one of the fun parts is to walk through and see all the livestock and the little baby lambs and all that great stuff and chickens and roosters.
That's correct. Our barn is full and it looks beautiful. All of our animals are actually undercover and in the barn this year. And we are really excited for that area. We'd love for you to come out and see all the animals that the kids have worked so hard for over the years. Yeah. And now this is their time to shine and show off. The junior livestock auction is on Saturday. It starts at 10 a.m. in the McMillan Pavilion. So if you do not already have a buyer's number, but you're interested, please call down to the office or go to buttecountyfair.org and you can get some more details on that.
And remember, if you don't think you want a whole hog, you can join up with a couple of other friends. I did that in the past, and we together bought a pig, you know, and had it butchered. And then every time, and we knew what the kid had named that pig. So, you know, in my freezer, it's had the name of that pig. It was really fun to say every time we were having it, you know, we were having so-and-so's pig.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You give thanks. That's
nice. And it's fun to support the kids that way, you know, and it's good meat. It's great meat. Yeah. So.
Well, and it's just a real interesting thing to, you know, to actually get involved in that side of food production, first of all, but just, you know, we live in an agricultural place, you know, and the ag is the biggest industry here, and going out to the fairs like this, whether it's the California State Fair, but the county fairs are the real kind of, it's just not like, you know, a fair to like, you know, ride the rides and make some money. It really is about giving back and supporting the ag industry and really the lifestyle in Butte County.
Right. It's about celebrating the lifestyle that we have here. Yeah, it's really cool. And, you know, besides the judging for the animals, there's other kinds of competition going on. We call it the stills, but I don't think anybody else does. But, you know, there's people that there's entries for art and flowers. And I don't know all the entries, but, you know, traditional things that people enter for baking and cooking and, you know, just lots of stuff, again, about the lifestyle, country lifestyle.
Well, and not just those competitions, but you can always enter the funnel cake eating competition that's held at Jake's about 5 o'clock each evening. So that'll be a fun one to watch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and this, you know, again, part of it is the food, you know, best muffins, best pie and all those great things, you know, it's just fun. And then, of course, you do have the fair food. You know, people wait all year to get their corn dog or their funnel cake or whatever's happening at that particular time. So that's a big part of the memories, I think, of the county fairs.
And we have a lot of the same food vendors come back every year. So people know, oh, I like that person's French fries or whatever, you know, and they mostly are in the same place they were before. So that's fun too, because if you've been going before, you like have favorites. You can go and get the same old fair food.
Oh yeah, see the same people. That's all part of the community that it builds around. So
yeah,
The Knights of Columbus is doing their tri-tip dinner tomorrow, which is Friday evening. That's a real favorite. Plus, we do have a couple of new vendors this year, which we're excited to see and get everyone's feedback on that. But we'll definitely be in line to get our corn dogs. We know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the new vendors is doing Indian food, right?
Correct.
Yeah, which is very nice. It's fun to participate in different food groups.
Oh, that sounds great. That's one of my faves.
Yeah, mine too. So we want to make sure we talk about the big events that are happening in the arena. So Friday and Saturday night and Sunday night, we have arena events. So on Friday night, it is the Mudbogs and Tough Trucks show, which is a great, great, fun competition, messy indeed. Kids love going to that. And on Saturday, it's a demolition derby. And Amy, tell him about last year's demolition derby.
Well, I truly enjoy the demolition derbies every year. It's one of my favorite events to go to. This year, they are doing the RV demolition again. They did it last year. It was a highlight. They had two RVs this year. I believe they've got 5 entries for that. And the evening actually starts out with a little peewee power wheel competition for the kids. I believe it's 5 to 8 years old. Again, all that information is on the Butte County Fair website. So definitely don't want to miss those.
Now, Amy, are you driving in the derby? Are you going to drive in the demolition derby?
Nope. I'm cheering from the stands.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that's that could be me on any given Friday night. No, I'm only kidding.
Yeah. Except I'm not crazy enough to try things that they try.
Ooh. Yeah, I honestly, I think it would be great fun to drive in one of those. But I'm sure we all think about that from time to time.
Oh, so if I got the old beater car, you'd drive it, right?
Yeah, there you go.
So, and of course, you know, you have to, a county fair is really, I think that, well, one of the main veins of the county fair, of course, is the Midway and just that whole Midway experience of the barkers and the, you know, the knock these bottles down, win a Cupid doll, you know, and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
And yes, the Midway of Fun Carnival will be there. Everything is planned as usual with the carnival. They are taking into consideration spacing just so that we can be sure to meet everybody's concerns with COVID and being friendly on distancing, making sure our lines aren't running too far into each other. But normal carnival and looking forward to all the rides.
Yeah. And believe it or not, the carnival stays open until midnight.
Really?
Yeah. So you Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's open till midnight, I believe, Amy, right?
I believe at 11 p.m. on the Sunday, on the last night.
Okay.
But yeah, midnight the other nights.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great, because you could wait till it cools down a little bit, you know, and...
Right. You can work all day and still go to the fair and...
Yeah, get there at 6 or 7 and eat dinner there and hang out. That's great. That's great. And,
you know, there's lots of music. Besides big performances, there's, you know, lots of music like there lots of times is. We've got the place called Jake's Country Sports Bar, and there's, I don't know, many different groups scheduled throughout the fair to perform there. So you can sit
Yes. down and- we have a stage on the courtyard on Whitaker and in Jake's with multiple different bands, a lot that locals know about, Legend, James Slack Band, Emma and Will, Mark III. We've got quite a few performances. They'll be all day in all the different areas. So all different styles. There's going to be something for everybody.
Well, that sounds great. That sounds great. It's, you know, again, it's a place where generations come, memories have made, there's something magical about the midway after dark, you know, it gets, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, when the sun goes down and it finally cools off, the whole place kind of takes on a little bit different vibe, and it's kind of fun and exciting.
Yeah.
If people haven't gone, again, this is in Gridley. It's at the Ute County Fairgrounds, and you can't miss it.
Yeah.
No,
you can't miss it. 99, and it's... If you're coming from Chico area, come in 99, turn left on Hazel. The main entrance, like Amy said, is now open again. And but there's another entrance on the other side. So
yeah, and if you're coming from Marysville, Yuba City, or south, take a right on Hazel. So Highway 99, take you right to it. Okay, what's the... Now, you guys also have some ticket specials for seniors and kids, and all that information is on the website, ButteCountyFair.org. Is that right?
ButteCountyFair.org. That is the website for information. And the Butte County Fair starts tonight in Gridley on Hazel. Very simple to get there, 99 South. Take a left on Hazel, coming from the south, 99 North. Take a right on Hazel. And, county fairs, you know, it's a pretty fun thing. Great for the kids, and starts today, Thursday. Be going on tonight till 11, and then till midnight on Friday and Saturday, and then also on 11. And ButteCountyFair.org has all the details, as well as the schedule for the different performances and shows, and all the competitions that are involved. So for a number of years, Upstate Community Enhancement Foundation, which is an organization I'm associated with, did the Butte County Butte County booth at the California State Fair, and it was always fun. It was kind of a lot of work, and you had to drive down there. But you know, once it was over, I kind of miss it, so I might have to skate on down there. Alrighty, well, since that was a time sensitive event, and I know you're jumping in your car right now to drive down to Gridley, let's thank our underwriters, and we'll take a little musical break. And we'll bring on our next guest today. Butte Views and Beyond is made possible by you, the KCFR supporter, and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by providing and supporting events and by publishing a bi-monthly news and culture, arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. Friendsof.art. We also want to thank the Butte Fire Safe Council. Wildfires have become the new normal in California. It is your responsibility to prepare your family, pets, home, and yourself. Preparedness starts with three steps. Ready, set, go. Ready, be. Ready is proactive planning, focusing on both home and family. Set is preparing an emergency supply kit, wildfire action plan, and evacuation routes. Go is taking the proper action when a wildfire starts. These actions increase the likelihood of both you and your home surviving. More information at visitbuttefiresafe.net. Be ready, Butte. All righty. Let's take a little music break. Kind of in the mood for a little 60s British invasion. A little more on the, not the early stuff. So I thought, what the heck? Let's break out some zombies.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time, give it to me easy. And let me try with pleasured hands to take you in this time to promised lands, to show you everyone it's the time of the season for loving. What's your name? Your daddy,
who's your daddy?
He rich. Is he rich like me? Has he taken
any time
to show you what you need to live?
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you why
I really want to know.
Oh, yeah. Gotta love that organ. Zombies, top of the season here on Butte Views and Beyond. Whoa, a little psychedelic British invasion during today's show. So, how exciting is that? Well, I think we're going to go through our interviews in chronological order on how they're happening. That suddenly seemed to make sense to me. So, let's get the next one lined up. And thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate your hanging with us tonight here on the Mighty Zephyr. KZFR.
Hey, Rose Marie Febo, welcome to...
Febo.
Well, now, I'm sure that's a familiar name to some of our listeners. As Mama Rose, you've been around the KZFR scene for years and years with Mama Rose's Kitchen and all kind of other things. I think you were a jazz programmer for a while as well. Is that right?
Oh, I filled in a few times. That's my genre mostly. But yeah, I've filled in for a few different shows.
All right. Well, you know, today I'm going to say turn your video off because we're getting a little bit of a delay on your audio and it'll use less bandwidth.
All right.
So turn your video off. That might be better because you're up in Forest Ranch and sometimes we have a challenge up there. But you're joining us today for a pretty exciting event coming to the downtown plaza, Festa Italiana, a.k.a. Italian Festival.
See. Well, it's the Sons and Daughters of Italy. It's the Vincenzo Bellini Lodge in Chico. And it's a little brainchild of Patty Goodwin Donito, who is a member. And so we've created this Festa Italiana, which is a benefit, actually, for the Butte County Office of Emergency Management for Evacuation Support. And if you don't know what those are, what that is, it's a great organization. They have the operations with addresses, planned response to extraordinary emergency situations associated with natural disasters, technological incidents, and national security emergencies in or affecting the Butte County operational area. And it includes other areas too, but basically, it's very good for our community to know that the event is going to be on Saturday, September 18th, 2021, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the downtown Outdoor City Plaza. So, for more information, you can contact Patty Goodwin Donito, or myself, and we're looking for there's going to be entertainment, and of course if you know anything about Italian culture, there's going to be food, of course. Lots of good food, entertainment, lots of good things, and it's basically, it's a cultural event to promote the Italian culture, of course. And the benefit is the main source of it. The Sons and Daughters of Italy is a nonprofit organization that promotes fundraising for other organizations. Basically, they give away tons of money to for scholarships for high school students in the amount of $1,000 to $2,000. We've given away to ARC, to the Chico Animal Shelter. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And lots of those proceeds from, they usually do a spaghetti feed. We haven't done that. I think we did it takeout two years ago. I don't think we did it last year.
Yeah, but 2 years ago takeout, I believe.
Yeah, and hopefully that, it's such a fun event. You know, hundreds and hundreds of people come to it.
Oh, yeah.
And we work really hard, you know, preparing spaghetti and meatballs and sausage and, you know, all the good Italian stuff.
Full disclosure, I worked on the meatball line for a couple of years. So there you go. Well, yeah. You know, and I don't know if people realize that Sons and Daughters of Italy, they just do a lot for the community. They're very understated. They don't seek a ton of publicity on these things. And they work a lot, like you said, with all kind of organizations, and but they also do a lot of scholarships, and they work a lot with the youth, and it's a good organization, and they do a lot of great things, and they've been around a while too. This chapter's been you got a timeline for when the 20.
Let me see. I think I'm not exactly sure. I know it was The Sons of Italy was formed in Little Italy in New York in like 1905, you know, and other lodges opened up as time went on. This one was the Vincenzo Bellini, who was a very important Italian historian, and he, I think ours was in 1829, and that was Vincenzo Lucido, and a lot of people know Kathy Lucido, and of course James Taylor of the Sicilian Cafe, oh, yeah. All in their bloodline. So, oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so it's been around for quite a while.
Yeah, it looks like this particular lodge was founded in 82, so it's 40 years.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Great. Yeah.
Is that what it said, 1982?
Yep, 82. I just found that.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, you guys, so a full day of fun out there, music, food. There's going to be a number of booths. KZFR will be there, of course.
Yay.
And it's nice to be back on the plaza. And, you know, usually that's kind of about the sweet spot up here is, you know, third, fourth week of September. It's usually just that perfect weather. So that's a really fun thing.
Lots of events happening that day, and we hope that everyone will come, you know, and join us. I wanted to say that the Sons and Daughters of Italy welcomes anybody that can appreciate the Italian culture. You don't have to be Italian. It's of Italian descent, but you have to have that mindset of good food, good friends, good people. We do all kinds of other things. We have bocce tournaments. We have dine outs that we go to different restaurants. We have a big golf classic that's coming up on October 11th as well, which is really cool. And we have an actual frozen meatball putting contest, which always a big hit.
That's going to be on October 11th out of Canyon Oaks. Oh yeah,
It's a fun event, and also there's a bowling league. You know, so there's lots of activities that we do, and of course the monthly meetings, and with the monthly meetings, of course there's food. So.
Oh yeah. There was a big potluck.
But anyway.
and it's just a really fun group of people. And like you said, all you have to do is, if you like pizza, that's it. You're in. Lasagna, spaghetti, you like cabocole, you like provolone, hey, huh? We're all there.
My father used to kid around and say there were only two kinds of people in the world, the Italians and the ones that wanted to be.
Yes, well, there you go.
I grew up actually in Southern California, and my parents and some my godparents and some of their friends actually were founders of a lodge in Inglewood, California. And so I grew up going to the Sons and Daughters of Italy, since I was a child, and going to all the different events that they had, and the dances and the spaghetti feeds, and the, you know, my parents were very, very, very involved. My dad was president actually of the lodge for quite a number of years. And so I was very familiar with the lodge when I came up here then, and joined this one not that long ago, but I'm happy to be a part of it and happy to help out with the Italiana Festa.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, it's interesting because we got to know, again, my mom's Italian, you know, my grandparents came over from Italy and after the First World War. And but I wasn't really that familiar with Sons of Italy. And they, when we started Chico Palio way back when, they immediately contacted us and said, hey, we want to be a part of this. This is Palio. It's the Italian thing. We love this. We're all big Palio people. And they would do a grape stomp, and they would do a food. They had food booths and would do sandwiches. And then they would turn around and donate the money back to us. And they just, that's the kind of people they are. Those are the kind of things they do. And they became an integral part of Chico Palio. They were one of our main supporters, some people that we could always rely on.
And that was such a great event. Oh my gosh, you and Deborah and everybody that worked on it just put so much time and effort. And what a fun, great event. Is that ever going to come back?
Who knows? You know, we had some glory years, that's for sure. But, yeah. You know, things cycle around. But we're focusing on Festival Italiana.
Yeah, see, you know, the purpose, the whole purpose of the overall organization, because there are lodges all over the United States, and it's basically, it says in their on their website, to enroll all eligible persons so that they may successfully promote national education, charitable fundraising, secure adequate laws for the benefit of its members, enrich Italian culture and heritage, and to combat discrimination while protecting and upholding the positive image of the people of the Italian birth or descent. I love that.
Yeah, I do too. And it's, you know, and I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It's a great organization, and we have a good, they have a really good time doing it. And nobody gets too serious, you know, let's face it.
Yes.
And, everybody likes to laugh and everybody likes to have fun. And they do a lot of really great things. And I understand.
There's going to be, oh, go on.
I was just going to say, I think the, if organizations or people are interested in having a booth at the event, you can go to sonsofitalychico.com, and that's where you'll find the application and all the information you need. Real simple, sonsofitalychico.com.
And, yeah, the event is September 18th, coming up from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the downtown plaza. They're going to have a pizza throwing contest. There's going to be this great magician there, some singers and you know, music, like I said, and of course, food, and, you know, some information booths and KDR. And, you know, you can also make a donation if you can't come to this and you want to donate for the Butte County Office of Emergency Management for evacuation support. You can do so by sending a check or money order or whatever to Sons of Italy, Vincenzo Bellini Lodge at P.O. Box 7021, Chico 95927. And I'm sure if you go online, you can, they're able to take a donation as well. But the this emergency management group is a really important part of our community, helping people, the evacuation people from these fires, of course. So
sure, and we're living it every day. And again, you know, this is, as we've learned in the last I don't know how many years, it's not a one and done, that's for sure. But this sounds like a fun event, and again, it's gonna be right there down on the plaza. Great family friendly, great way to spend the day and come out and enjoy a little bit of Italy right here in Chico.
Right. Yeah. Come one, come all.
All right.
And
well, hopefully I'll see you there.
You will definitely see me there. I'll be roaming all around.
All right, Rosemary. Well, thank you so much. And again, if you'd like some more information, sonsofitalychico.com, I believe, is the website, right? .com?
Sonsofitaly.com.
Yeah, sonsofitalychico.com.
Yes. And we have changed it to Sons and Daughters of Italy now. So we're getting up to date now.
Yeah. You know, so
getting politically correct.
There you go. Sons and Daughters of Italy. Perfect. All right.
All righty. Festival Italiana, September 18th, downtown Chico Plaza, 10 to 6. Let's get back with a little more of that British invasion stuff. Right here on Butte Views and Beyond.
Hey! Well, my time will not fight, and I'm a freedom of crime. Crazy people marching on.
Spencer Dryden Group, give me some loving right here on KZFR. Thanks for tuning in. Got another one for you. Days are getting a little shorter. It's cooling down. We can kind of see fall coming in. What does that mean? That means it's time. We're approaching the return of the Chinook salmon to the headwaters. Coming up the Feather Sacramento, coming up the Bay, Sacramento River, up to the Feather River, up into the creeks and streams to lay their eggs, and a very spiritual and meaningful time for the people of California, the original people of California. And this event is honored with the Salmon Festival that happens in Oroville, that just happens to be on the banks of the Feather River. And we've got a...
All right, we have like to introduce our next guest today. We have Joan Bosky, who is the president of the Feather River Nature Center Docents Group, Sue Hees, who is the historian, and Jill Prouty, who is the secretary. You guys are getting ready for a really beautiful and fun event in Oroville, the Feather River Nature Center dinner, which is a little different this year, you're just telling me. So why don't you guys let us know what's happening and the changes and what's going on.
All right, Ray, thank you so much for having us on. Yes, this year we're going to modify it from a dinner, which has been 25 years running. This will be our 26th year, and we are switching it up to more of a soiree event. So it'll be small plates. We're still going to have amazing local music, our musicians out of Hauser's, and we'll have raffle prizes, and we'll be gathering at the Centennial Plaza this year, which we thought would be a beautiful format. It overlooks the Feather River, and guests can come at 6:30 when we'll be dining and having beer and wine until 9:30.
Oh, that sounds great. And that Centennial Plaza is such a really beautiful space. I'm guessing a lot of people don't really know where it is or haven't been there, unless you're like one of the levee walkers and you go by there every morning, or some of the fishing people. But beautiful sculpture garden. And it's just off of, let's see, it's kind of between
Bedrock
Park and the
Municipal Auditorium. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about halfway. And there's a bunch of parking right there as well.
Right, and overlooking the river. It's a beautiful spot and some arbors, and going to be a wonderful evening.
Yeah, it is beautiful. And when that area was developed, they just did a really, really nice job. There's a lot of great sculptures and salmon sculpture, and it very much fits into the whole evening and event.
And as the Nature Center, we're so happy that it's surrounded by native plant gardens. There's only a couple species in the gardens that aren't native, so that's extra special. Yeah,
that's fantastic. And of course, this is a fundraiser for the Feather River Nature Center, and that's got a long history in itself. So Sue, are you going to take over on that and take us back to the gold mining days when that was a Maidu village or Maidu fishing site?
It called a lot of things. It was not the Chinese bathhouse, and it was not built for the gold miners. It was built in the middle 1930s, by a WPA local group as a bathhouse. Two sides, entry on women on one and men on the other, with showers. And there was a beautiful beach there. People came from all over Northern California to swim there in the Feather River. Several years later, we had a major flood before the end of the 30s, and it wiped out the beach, and it wiped out the rock walls around the bathhouse. And it sat like that and totally deteriorated until about 1996. Wow. And Pete Mackey and Rex Burris wanted to do something with that and came up with a nature center, a nature museum. And it the homeless and the drug usage and the neglect, no roof, no windows, graffiti, trash, garbage, rotten wood, and et cetera, et cetera. So they invited people that were interested in that and formed the Friends of the Feather River Nature Center, all volunteers. And with those volunteers, the first dinner being in October of 1997 to raise funds to pay for this, to offset some of it, many, many community people, businesses, organizations donated materials, donated time, donated machinery. And so it just started coming together. It took a while, but each year since then, we've had a salmon dinner festival on Friday night. And most of those years up until just recently, it's been on the plant park flat just south of the nature center there by the river, which is also a sacred circle area for the Native Americans, from which the first salmon ceremonies began way, way, way back for them, and how our salmon festival days came to be. Recently, it's been up on the levee, and partly because the volunteers got to an age where bringing in tables and setting them up and the chairs and the lights and all of that, it just became a chore. And we didn't want it to become that. So been recently on the levee, and that's worked out really well. And then, of course, the pandemic. So
So we make adjustments. And I was lucky enough to go to three or four of those down there at the Nature Center. And it was just a magical spot for sure. Walking down that road at twilight and hearing Dave Hauser playing some bluegrass and those guys and, you know, just the waterfall behind it and the salmon jumping. So it's a beautiful area, and it's open all the time. People can go down there. And I don't think people realize the extent of the park along the river as well that leads up to the diversion dam.
Right. It goes all the way up the hill, and there are gazebos and handicap parking up above, and you can overlook it. And it also has the natural trail named for one of the bicyclists,
Freeman Trail.
And veers off, you can park, and then you can walk that all the way up to the face of the dam and back down.
Yeah.
So it's very extensive for that.
Yeah, it's a great trail system. And there's beautiful sculpture along that part, too. There's these great silhouettes of bear and coyote and fish and eagles.
The new addition that's only been the last few years, and it just tells you about the area and the history.
So yeah. That section is called the Saywim Bow Trail, which is my do for your river trail. And it's, I want to say maybe 2 miles, and it is right up to the river. It is on the ledge looking out. And that was put together through efforts of the Nature Center, DWR, and absolutely with consultation and assistance from our local Naidu tribes. And that's something that's still maintained, and we're looking forward to having new signs hopefully next year.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's a great area. I mean, all the way from Bedrock Park all the way up, you just keep following the river. It's really fantastic. And I don't think people realize the trail systems and everything that's in place. And that Freeman Trail goes all the way down to the lake.
Inside the Nature Center are taxidermied animals of that area, native of California. There are pelts of some animals. There are lots of different things that you can actually touch or see that are of the nature world, the natural world. Also in there is a recognition board. And anyone that's been involved in any way, shape, or form over the last 26 years is recognized, plus a history of that site, not just the Nature Center, but that site over time. Sure. And the bridge going across the Feather River. It used to be a covered bridge, and there was a ferry at one time, and lots of different information and actual objects inside the Nature Center for people to come and see as they're walking on the
Yes. Yeah, it's a great facility. And, you know, it's hard to realize what the rivers was like before the flood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they used to bring steamships. They used to have, you know, it was boat traffic up and down that river. Now we look at it and we're like, oh, it's way too small and shallow for that. But it didn't always look like that.
Oh, it did not.
Did not.
Still has magic.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's still, you know, again, the river runs right through town. It's really, really amazing in Oroville. So let's get back to the dinner. It's going to be on Friday night, the 24th of September, 6:30. At the Centennial Plaza, which is, what's the best way to get there? Montgomery Street?
Definitely Montgomery. And then we'll have parking all along the levee. We'll have a little shuttle, too, that'll kind of go from, it's in the works. The Chamber's helping us organize some of these details. And so if we need overflow parking, we'll have it. There'll be a couple of really close spots, so ADA compliant, it'll be easy to get to.
And the tickets, maybe we could talk about the
tickets. So we're hoping to launch those Friday to this week.
Okay.
On right, we'll also have paper tickets available both at the Nature Center down on off of Old Ferry Road. Visit us at the bathhouse, and then the Chamber, Orville Chamber, will have tickets available for sales.
Oh, great. So you can go to the Chamber website. You'll have there'll probably be a link on the website as well for the Chamber. Great. Yeah. That's a real easy fix. That's really nice of those guys to kind of be the central hub for this kind of information. I know that they've been our ticket outlet for years for all kinds of things. So that's
awesome rack also. So with wine and jewelry and sometimes gift certificates for the area. And,
oh, nice. Well, that's great.
So,
yeah.
It's a nice evening all around.
Yeah, it's always a fun event, and I'm sure it'll be well attended as people are ready to get back out. And this is just a really special event. It's just one of these really feel-good kind of things. And the area is just so beautiful. You can't, like, not enjoy yourself. And especially at sunset, at twilight, with the river right there, the salmon are jumping, there's music playing, you're with your friends, you're meeting new friends. It's just a really sweet time.
Mm-hmm. And along with that, with Joan talking about the native plants, she got a lot of this started about 2 years ago and has really focused on replacing and planting all around the Center native plants and taking out some of the old imported plants. So we're keeping it natural and being up at Centennial Park with the native flowers and plants and things that are there really does fit the theme of the whole celebration.
Yeah, get back to the indigenous flora of the area. That's really fantastic. Fantastic. All righty. Well, let's give that information one more time. Joan, why don't you give us the recap?
All right. So our salmon soiree will be up at Centennial Plaza, which is on Arlen Ryan Memorial Drive, which is also known as the Levee, adjacent to the Feather River. If you pop up off of Lincoln or Hontoon, you'll find us right there. So it's going to be 6:30 to 9:30, September 24th. And you can go to Eventbrite for tickets. Just type in Salmon Soiree or Friends of the Feather River Nature Center. It'll pop up. We're going to launch that in the next day or two. Or visit the Oroville Chamber or come visit us at the Feather River Nature Center on Saturday. We'll be there every Saturday, 10 to 2 through October. But come see us before the Salmon Festival.
That sounds great. And make sure you send me a link. I'll put it up on the KZFR Facebook page as well, so people can get in touch with you that way. And this is exciting. Keep me updated on changes. And I'm glad to hear it's happening. And I think the Centennial Plaza is going to be a perfect venue. And if people don't know, if you come in north or south, get off at Montgomery Street from Highway 70, go straight into downtown. You'll get to Hontoon. There's a stop sign. Take a left. You'll go up the hill and park, and you're there.
We sure hope you you'll come and visit, come up for the dinner, Ray. We got a ticket for you.
All righty. So more information for the Feather River Nature Center dinner, it will be on the Salmon Festival or the Oroville Chamber of Commerce website and Facebook pages. And speaking of Oroville, they've got some fun things. I have a guest that I just met this morning. Yesterday morning by telephone. We haven't met, but I would like to introduce Daniel Ballard. And he does historic walking tours of Oroville. Welcome to Butte Views and Beyond, Daniel.
Hi, thank you.
So, you know, I saw this on a arts and culture, the Friends of the Arts newsletter, e-letter that goes out, and I thought, man, I saw this a couple times. I thought, I got to reach out to this guy. How did you get involved in doing this?
Well, it was something that I had in mind to do before I even started. That would be in December of last year. And I kept wanting to do this, these walking tours or some kind of street performance meets history kind of thing. And then when the pandemic started, I, you know, had nothing to do. And I was involved in the Birdcage and didn't really have that outlet anymore because that had shut down. And so I was going on walks, and the city had voted a couple of years ago to keep their Christmas lights up. And it's not, you know, it's a very classy way it's done. And walking through there, our downtown district at night, it was like being somewhere else, either being in the middle of France or on Main Street in downtown Disney, you know. And so I thought, now's got to be the time. I can't just wait, and I've got to do it. So I put it on Facebook. It was nothing official at that point. And I had three people who showed up, and one of them was a big supporter of mine, Alberta Tracy. She's the Lady of Butte County, as she's known.
Oh, yeah.
And then a couple had came, and they we asked them, and they said they were from Sacramento, and they drove all the way up to Oroville for this tour. So I gave them a tour like they were 100 people, you know, because they had specifically come up there for it. And so then we had two more tours of similar kind of, it was slow growth. It was five people, then 12 people, and then 15. But on the 15-person tour, I had a reporter from the Mercury Register and Enterprise Record. And I didn't expect I'd have as big an article as she gave me for this. But she attended my tour, and she took notes and interviewed me after, and she wrote this beautiful article about what I had told, and she had specifically gave one story, you know, that I had told, and so then after that, the month after that, I do these every first Saturday of the month. I was still only doing one tour at that time, and 110 people showed up after these newspaper articles.
Oh, there you go.
And, yeah, so, and, you know, our tour had gone down Miner's Alley, and so I had to funnel 110 people down Miner's Alley, which it's probably not seen that since the Gold Rush.
Sure.
And so this was, you know, a very big turnout that got me a lot of support from our city council member, Chrissy Riggs. And she helped, she's a head or helps the Downtown Oroville organization. You know, it's a group of all the business owners down
sure,
there.
The business association, together,
yeah. Yeah, working together to put on events. So she started helping me by advertising on their site, and they've taken on a lot of the media aspect too. You know, obviously, you know, they helped me and get my point across, you know, so they come to me for the pictures and for the information, but then they put it together in a way that's very professional and draws a lot of people
very nice.
In.
Very nice. So, you know, I mean, and we talk about this all the time, just about every time we talk about downtown Oroville, is the historic content of all of these buildings that date back mm-hmm. to, I mean, these are original structures. They weren't yeah. knocked down to put in strip malls or, you know, or updated, a lot like downtown Chico has. But the ones in Oroville right. seem to be just a little more pristine, and they haven't really gone through the multiple changes. Matter of fact, some of them probably haven't changed since they closed their doors in the 30s or 40s. So it's pretty awesome.
Right. Coyote Cantina, which just opened on Montgomery Street, the building that they're in, Lori and Sean Pierce from Mugshots, when they got a hold of that building, it had been vacant for 50 years.
Yeah.
And they breathed new life into it.
Yeah, it's just really amazing. Some of the landmarks down there. Now, if people are interested, do you have like a Facebook site or how? What's the way for them to find out what
you
scheduled?
You can always follow Downtown Oroville's Facebook page, and it's got an illustration with some of the buildings and the waves of the river, and. I also post to public groups like, you know, you grew up in Oroville, and Butte County Pictures and Information, and Oroville Current Events.
Okay.
And then as far as other sources, I also have an Instagram page that has been, or an Instagram account for this event that has been up for a couple months. And it's gaining some following, too. And I update people regularly through that as well.
Oh, great. Great. Now, it's such a cool thing. And again, these areas are just so special. And, California, they like to knock buildings down sometimes. So it's nice when things stick around and really hold on to that historic element. And, and we were talking earlier about the Nature Center and the dinner, and that's all a part of it. Think of Oroville before the levee was built, and the river was just right there. It's just amazing when you think about that.
Yeah, and downtown Oroville right now is having what they're calling a renaissance, and it truly is something interesting to see. I've only lived here a little over a decade, and I've got to see this town go from almost a ghost town. I used to joke that you could lay down on Myers Street and take a nap in the middle of a Sunday afternoon, and now there's so much traffic here. There's a lot of businesses opening up, and it's crazy to live here and grow with the town like that.
Yeah, it's really something. And again, I mean, you can literally kayak right through downtown. You can go fly fishing there. The salmon are jumping. Mm-hmm. There's swimming beaches. You have Riverbend Park at one end. You've got the diversion dam up on the top, and a fantastic Brad Freeman Trail where you can mountain bike 20-something miles all over the place and then cruise into downtown and have lunch or go shopping and take in some of these historic sites. Hey, listen, I want to thank you. We had a little scheduling issue with this today, but I would like to have you back on again and visit back on this because this is such a cool thing. And
could I mention the next walking tour?
Oh, please. Yeah.
So our next one is going to be a really fun one. It's the State Theater. So like the last one, it's going to be mainly inside, but there's going to be a lot to look at. And on the screen at the State Theater, we're going to open up with showing a 7.5-minute-long video of highlights from movies filmed in the Oroville area.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's September 4th at 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 8 p.m. And we always meet in front of the Municipal Auditorium, or as it's called now, the Oroville Convention Center. And we start from there.
Oh, that sounds great. And do you have to RSVP or just show up?
Oh, it's just show up, yeah. And it's a free event. It's also, you can tip if you want to.